In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. So says Paul emphatically. This is the Sunday before the exaltation of the cross. This epistle and the gospel that was about the cross is always said on this day. It is sort of an explanation of the way of the cross. We will celebrate the event of the exaltation soon. It'll be on Friday. But the preparatory period is now, and we are meditating upon what the cross means. The cross is very misunderstood. A lot of people think that our salvation was effected on the cross. No, our salvation was effected by the Lord Jesus Christ, by him choosing to be incarnate of a woman, to become fully human while at the same time fully God, teaching his disciples, and in strengthening them. And then, of course, dying and resurrecting of his own power, his human flesh, making his flesh capable, and therefore our flesh, capable of eternal life. And then, of course, his ascension to heaven, which makes our flesh capable of being in heaven with him, and the sending of the Holy Spirit, all those things. In total, they affected our salvation. But the cross is very important as a symbol to us of how to live. Now, what does it mean to glory in the cross of the Lord? Paul doesn't exactly say that way. He says, God forbid that I should glory except or save in the cross of our Lord, which means there are other things that we must glory in that we shouldn't be glorying in. How does the world glory in things? The world glories in things by desiring things that are not godly. Or perhaps you would say, not so much that they're not godly, but our emphasis on them might not be godly. The world wants money, the world wants prestige, the world wants happiness on a certain terms, which is usually defined as getting the things I want, having the things that I think I need. The world wants appeasement of its ego, and all the rest. People glory in those things. And if we're honest with ourselves, we glory in some of those things too. Perhaps we don't think that we want to be rich people or take advantage of people. But I would challenge you to really investigate, how do you react when someone wrongs you, slanders you, isn't nice to you? When something unfair happens to you, I would say that most of us, weak, sinful ones that we are, when those such things happen to us, we glory in our own self-centeredness and our own ego and our own vanity, just like the rest of the world. What does it look like to glory in the cross? Well, St. Paul basically explains it in his next part of the sentence. What is the cross? It's an instrument of death. You put things on the cross and they die. So, St. Paul says, the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. So that must mean that the world is going to die to me. I mean, you're not going to kill the world, but you can kill the world in you. And that is what glorying in the cross is. Glorying in the cross is taking our Lord's example and trying to live according to it, and therefore dying. In another place, St. Paul said, I die daily. Do you die daily? I don't think I do. Oh, sometimes I die. But too often I don't die. Look at your life. How often do you die? How often do you give your will to another person? Now, it's easy to give your will to somebody that you love, that loves you back, that is kind to you. How often do you give your will to somebody who's nasty, who you don't like, who's not fair, who's not a believer, who's profane? How often do you give your will to such a person? How often do you pray for such a person? How often do you humble yourself before such a person? That's the way of the cross. The way of the cross is to persecute your passions, not people. Anything in you that is not godly, you put on the cross. Now, this is a difficult task, and it's a lifelong task, and it's a task that we're not altogether that good at, but with God helping us, we become better. The way of the cross is to look at the Lord and what he did and take his example and live according to that example to the best of our feeble abilities. If something's really important to you, you live your life according to it. You order your life according to it. The question that I ask myself often is, what's important to me? Sometimes I don't want to do the right thing. And it's not really, to be honest with you, such a clear-cut kind of thing that if a person looks at me and says, oh, he's doing wrong because of what he's doing now. It's really the heart. The heart is deciding what to do. My heart decides to do good, or maybe to not do good. Or maybe to do good, but grudgingly. Or maybe to hold back and say, I have a right to feel this feeling about this person. The way of the cross is to put yourself on it. When you are on the cross, you die. The cross kills things. It's to kill your passions. This is the way of the cross. Now, why would we do such a thing? The world says it's crazy. The world says it's foolishness. The world just believes that anything that gives pleasure is good. That's basically the religion of the world now. I think it always was, but now it's even breaking through into officialdom. It's being promoted and paid for by governments. And those who have the opposite opinion are being persecuted. But the world has always just wanted pleasure. Now, the bitter irony of those who seek pleasure is, if you seek pleasure and another person seeks pleasure and his pleasure takes away your pleasure, well, you're out of luck, unless you're stronger than that person. So really, if everyone seeks pleasure, very few people feel it or have it. The better way is to recognize in yourself the things that draw you away from God, that bring you away from happiness, pleasure. And to put those things on the cross. Truly, what an amazing thing to glory in the cross. That's an instrument of torture. An instrument of death. Of pain. Of blood. We glory in it. I was just listening to one of the hymns that mentioned the cross. And I was thinking, how easily we talk about torture. Now, it's not the kind of thing that we would generally talk about at the dinner table. Right, about some torture that has occurred. And by the way, they're occurring daily in our world now. Christians are daily being tortured. Their throats are being cut. They're being beheaded. They're being beaten daily for their beliefs. We don't talk about such things at the dinner table because we think, you know, that ruins our appetite. And yet we freely talk about the cross. And it's an instrument of torture, an instrument of death. I think sometimes we have lost the knowledge or the feeling of what the cross means. If you glory in the cross, that means you put yourself on the cross. That means you sacrifice yourself. You give your life for your friends. Now, if you want to know who your friends are, I refer you to the parable of the Good Samaritan. Everyone is your neighbor. Everyone is your friend. They're all neighbors to God. They're all beloved by him. Anyone beloved by him should be beloved by us. Brothers and sisters, do you glory in the cross? Do you understand what that means? I understand a little, but very little. What's really important to you today? What's important tomorrow? Is living as a Christian important? Or is whatever you're going to do tomorrow important? Or whatever you're planning for tomorrow, is that important? If we glory in the cross, then we glory in being like the Lord and all he cared about during his sojourn on earth was his flock. He only cared about doing the will of his Father. That was the only thing that mattered to him. He had no other priority. We're a mix and a mashup of priorities, and a lot of them are not so good. But if you glory in the cross, then indeed your priorities become simple. Basically, a good priority would be to give your will to everyone. And if you don't understand what I mean by that, you'll learn if you struggle to do it. Obviously, giving your will to everyone doesn't mean doing everything they say and whatever they want. But to give your will to everyone is to consider them precious in God's sight, and therefore in your sight, and to love them unconditionally and extravagantly and, according to the world, crazily. One of the other readings today had something that I think connects very much to glorying in the cross. It was a reading that's very similar to one I just talked about, I think it was this week, that in the readings of St. Mark, which we're reading during the weekdays, we're still finishing up Matthew during the weekend, but during the weekdays we're reading St. Mark now. But this reading is for the ancestors of God, Joachim and Anna. And at the end of this reading, it was told that his mother and his brethren had come and wanted to see him, could not see him because there was such a big crowd. And somebody says, your mother and your brethren want to see you. And he says, my mother and my brethren are these that hear the word of God and do it. Do you know who that is? That's you, if you do the word of God, if you hear it and do it. Now that's something to glory in. We who are pathetic, sinful creatures, not deserving of anything good, God has chosen. And God has said, we will be his mother and his brother and his sister and his father. In another place it says, be his father, to be a father of God. What does that mean? To actually be intimately with him and united to him, despite the fact that we share nothing with him except by his grace making it possible. Now, if you glory in that, you can sure put up with a lot of irritations and a lot of crummy stuff that people do. Now, if you don't glory in that, then that stuff's pretty hard to put up with. So a good measurement of whether or not you glory in the cross is, do you get irritated? Do you get impatient? Do you get mad at people? Do you judge people? Do you get tired of people burdening you? If any of those things happen, then you're not glorying in the cross, because your inheritance is in heaven. That's all you should care about. And if you have this inheritance, if you can actually be a brother and a mother and a father to God, he said it, then the reason you can be is because of the cross, the way of the cross. Because to be like God is to live as he lived. The God-man showed us the way, so we live this way. That's what you should glory in. I'm convinced that our self-centeredness and our real foolishness, basically human beings, all of us, we're pretty foolish. We make a lot of dumb decisions. We have a lot of bad priorities. Why is that? I wonder about that. I'm a priest, dedicated my life to preaching the gospel, to helping people, taking care of the sick, visiting those in prison, counseling those who need counsel, giving comfort to those who need comfort. I do all that stuff. And yet, so often, I look inside my heart and I see self-centeredness. Why is that? That's a mystery to me, to be honest with you. I don't understand the answer. Perhaps you do. I don't understand it. But I do understand how to make it not happen. And that is to glory in the cross. To glory in our Lord's way of life and to emulate it. And to work on having it be the only thing that matters to us. The only priority. And if that happens, then the self-centeredness, the irritation with others, the judging others, all that's going to go away. And then there'll be true happiness. I want to be really happy. Do you want to be really happy? It's a natural human instinct to want to be happy. There's only one way to be happy. The world doesn't understand it, but the church does. The way to be happy is to follow the way of the cross. The world thinks it's a way of sadness. We know that it's a way of becoming free. Free from the things that hold you down, which are your passions. So brothers and sisters, on this Sunday before the exaltation, let's renew in ourselves a desire to put our passions on the cross, to crucify ourselves to the world. And God will help you do it. You'll find a way if you desire to do it. May God help us in all things. Amen.